God tells us to forgive, right? But when and how should we forgive? Are there times when we shouldn't forgive? Can forgiveness actually hurt someone? Bob Inyart's teaching on forgiveness shows us what the Bible really teaches about forgiveness. The three-part forgiveness series is available on DVD video or in audio on MP3 CD by calling 1-800-8-INYART. Or you can get the video, CD, or the MP3 download at kgovstore.com.
The murderers on death row today should be executed. Excuse me, what did he just say? My name's Doug McBurney, and I heard Bob Inyart say just that in 1995, and I've been listening ever since. I found out that the death penalty is at the heart of the gospel, and that Christianity and justice need not be mutually exclusive. A video titled God and the Death Penalty is available today at kgov.com. God and the Death Penalty examines God's ideas about justice. You'll learn the New Testament verses affirming the death penalty and understand why God never repealed capital punishment. Find out God's opinion. Order God and the Death Penalty today at kgov.com. That's God and the Death Penalty at kgov.com.
Welcome to Bob Inyart Live, day two of my filling in for Bob. Greg Jackson sitting in the commander's chair. I don't know what he would call this chair. The purveyor of truth's chair with the brightest audience in all of the Rocky Mountains and in all of the world. You're listening to KLTT AM 670. Again, Greg Jackson sitting in for Bob Inyart. Happy Friday to you all. If you were with us yesterday, you heard the first part of my interview with Roy Moore. Supreme Court Justice, the Alabama Supreme Court Judge Roy Moore. I'm sure that most of you are familiar with his story. We talked about it yesterday. We're fortunate enough to have what I consider to be a modern-day American hero. He is a real hero. We talk about the music and the lead-in to this show. You need a man on a mission from God. Well, that's Bob Inyart and Doug McBurney and Joe Scott and all the other fabulous voices that you hear on this station. But it's also Chief Justice, former Chief Justice of the Alabama Supreme Court, Roy Moore. Because Roy Moore is on a mission from God to glorify God. You haven't heard his story? Basically, he's the guy who put up, he had the gall in the Supreme Court of Alabama to put up a Ten Commandments monument in the courthouse there. And he was told by a federal judge to take it down. We talked about that a little bit yesterday. And essentially, Judge Moore said, I'm not going to take it down. I'm not going to follow through with your order because it's an illegal order. It's unconstitutional. It's a violation of God's supreme natural law. And so, no, I'm not going to go along with it. And he lost his job over it. Jesus said, count the cost. And Judge Moore counted the cost. And he's still counting the cost to this day because there's been a pretty significant cost. And there always is when you choose the narrow road, the narrow way. Judge Moore, welcome back to the program, my friend.
Well, thank you, Greg. Nice to be back with you.
Well, listen, Judge, I meant every word I said, and I believe you are on a mission from God. And when you were told to take down that monument, you had a chance to do that and save your own hide and keep your job and all the accoutrement that goes along with being Supreme Court Justice. I mean a long-term pension and these types of things. Am I correct? You could have kept your job, right?
I could have kept my job, yes.
And you talk about it in your book, So Help Me God, The Ten Commandments, Judicial Tyranny, and the Battle of Religious Freedom, which is an absolutely fantastic read, and I would highly recommend to all of our listeners to get a copy of So Help Me God by former Supreme Court Judge Roy Moore. Judge Moore, in the book you do talk about how you were basically offered a little piece of paper by an associate judge, that if you sign this little piece of paper, Judge, you can keep your job.
That's right. Senior Associate Justice came to me in my office and said that we've talked about this and we've agreed that if you transfer your authority to me, he said he would remove the monument and I could keep my job and be a hero and save face and people would understand. And I said, but it's my job, it's my authority, and I would not sign the paper. So I could have signed the paper and prohibited any removal from office. And again, like I said yesterday, the federal district judge didn't remove me from office. It was a panel out of the state, and they transferred out of his authority. The only way a judge can enforce his orders are through contempt, but I was never held in contempt. It was a state tribunal that removed me without questioning the lawfulness of the order. I understand that they wanted me out of the way because I would not bow down to the federal authority, which was contradicting the United States Constitution, and they got their way. So that's in the past, but I still think God's in control.
Amen to that. And give to Caesar what is Caesar's, and give to God what is God's.
I often speak of that passage in Matthew and I think Luke and John. Basically, when he says, render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's, to God the things that are God's, Jesus wasn't saying that there are things that Caesar had that God has no authority over.
That's
he
right.
was saying that whatever Caesar has, God gave him authority over, but he didn't give him authority over one thing. And this one thing was so important to our founding fathers, so important to our history, and most Christians today don't understand what that one thing that he would not submit to Caesar. And that's our freedom to worship God in the manner in which we choose. That's called freedom of conscience. It's contained within the First Amendment. And the First Amendment in its first part says, Congress shall make no law respecting the establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. That definition of religion goes back to the duties which we owe to God and the manner of discharging those duties. And that was outside of the government interference. That's why it said Congress, the federal government, could make no law respecting that. And so when we acknowledge God, we're acknowledging that there are some things that government can't interfere with. And that's how we worship God. When government starts telling you you can't worship God, it assumes the position of God and then begins to grant rights. And out of those rights, you see abortion, homosexuality, same-sex marriage, and it goes on and on and on, because they're creating rights in today's courts, not recognizing the ones given by God. And you know, Greg, that's the whole role of government. And how do I know that? Because the Declaration, Thomas Jefferson clearly said it. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal and endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. He went on to say this, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed, and that whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or to abolish it, and to institute new government, laying its foundations on such principles, and organizing its powers in such form as to them shall seem most likely to affect their safety and happiness. That's what they did in 1776. They laid the foundation on such principles in the Declaration of Independence, and organizing the powers in such form in the Articles of Confederation, which were later altered to be the Constitution of the United States. And today, we do not understand the role of government. That's why you see so many government officials going around assuming they can do things that are not in the Constitution and, quite frankly, adverse to our law.
Well, this is a great point that you're making, and I think one of the most significant evils that we face in our society today, but it's not the liberals. I mean, you would expect an ACLU-trained Marxist lawyer to think that way and to act that way, but what about, Judge Moore, the so-called conservative Christian legal organizations that seed the lie that courts are the final arbiter of what is and is not legal. In other words, that the Supreme Court is actually supreme, even though we know from a reading of our founding documents, including the Federalist Papers, most notably, specifically Federalist, I think it's 78, where Hamilton talks about the judiciary by its very nature as being the weakest of the three branches. So why is it that we constantly hear from our so-called conservative and Christian legal organizations and pro-family organizations that the other two branches, the executive and legislative branches, are essentially subservient to the whims and caprices of the judicial branch. In other words, they always complain about judicial tyranny and black-robed tyrannical judges. But isn't the truth really, as you have just so eloquently stated, that the other two branches don't have to acknowledge or cede the lie in any way that the judiciary has any law-making power or authority?
Well, I think you were the one that eloquently stated it, Greg, but you're right. According to the Constitution, it was never meant for the courts to make law. Courts don't make law. And everybody will say they recognize that courts don't make law. But then, fearfully, they do not impeach these justices for ruling by foreign law and by excluding the very mention of God, which is in the chambers of the House of Representatives of the United States Congress. They allow judges to rule as they feel. And that's what's going on all over our country. When these judges are overturning, for example, we filed a brief just last week in the case where the federal district judge out of Massachusetts said DOMA, which was passed in 1996 by the United States Congress, saying marriage between one man and woman was unconstitutional under the Fifth Amendment to the United States Constitution, which contained an equal protection provision. Well, if you read the Fifth Amendment, there is no equal protection words in the Fifth Amendment whatsoever.
That's right.
That's in the 14th Amendment. And so these judges don't even know what's contained in the Fifth Amendment. And even if they claim there is an equal protection provision in it, it still doesn't say that Congress can't make a law. It says that you can't treat people differently under the law, and it doesn't. It says a man and a woman is a marriage. It didn't say two men or two women are a marriage. But you see, we're living in a society where God doesn't give rights anymore because we don't acknowledge him, that it's man, and man can rule whatever he wants to if he's got a black robe on. And that's what I really object to. Judges do not make law, and the United States Congress and the United States President have every right to follow the Constitution, which they're sworn. You know, their oath of office doesn't say we swear to uphold the Supreme Court of the United States. It's the Constitution of the United States.
That's right.
It says that every judge, legislator, and executive shall swear to uphold the supreme law of the land. And the Constitution says that this Constitution and the laws of the United States made in pursuance thereof and all treaties made or which shall be made under the authority of the United States are the supreme law of the land. In other words, if courts go way off the tangent and starts interpreting a law in exact contradiction to its original purpose and meaning, then the president should stand up, Congress should stand up, and they should impeach these justices. And most Christian people in this country do not understand the simple provision that the First Amendment religion clauses were there to protect something which they voluntarily are giving up, and that's the freedom to believe what they want about God, and it's a God-given thing. It's not a government-given thing. The Bill of Rights wasn't to give us rights. It was to protect federal government from taking those rights.
That's right.
When the United States Supreme Court can take away our religious freedom, and that's exactly what the court in my case did. He said, while the Chief Justice is free to keep whatever religious belief he chooses, the state of Alabama may not acknowledge the sovereignty of the Judeo-Christian God and attribute to that God our religious freedom, religious liberty. Well, exactly, the United States Supreme Court attributed to that God our religious liberty. But this judge in Alabama, a federal district judge, decided that, no, it was the Constitution that gives us religious liberty or the Supreme Court that gives us religious liberty, but not something we can't acknowledge. Well, you see, that's the problem. Man wants to be as God and take away all authority, so that when Jesus said, render to Caesar the things of Caesar, to God the things of God, they say, Caesar has everything, but we'll leave the afterlife to God. That's not what Jesus meant.
We're here with Judge Roy Moore. So Help Me God is his book. He's also the president of the Foundation for Moral Law, morallaw.org. Judge, you talk about so many interesting points, but to me, the most interesting aspect of what you're talking about is the fact that you have essentially people, both self-described conservatives and liberals, everybody acknowledging that man-made law is the highest law, even higher than God's natural law. And to me, it's easy to understand that liberals think this way, but conservatives, conservative legal organizations, pro-family organizations, they should have been the first ones, as we've already talked about, that should have been defending you. George Bush, he should have stepped in immediately and defended you and said to the federal judge that he had no authority, no constitutional authority, and moved to impeach that judge.
I agree.
And then, of course, the attorney general and the governor of Alabama all had that same sworn constitutional obligation. None of them did it. So my question to you is, if you look back and you brought up three very interesting cases, let's take a look at three of them. Let's take a look at the Goodridge decision in Massachusetts, where the court decided that there's a constitutional right to homosexual same-sex marriage, that banning same-sex marriage was discriminatory. Let's take a look at the California decision, also California RE marriage, that essentially said the same thing. Banning same-sex marriage was unconstitutional, discriminatory. Now, in both those cases, and of course there's the Varnum decision, I believe, in Iowa, that essentially said the same thing. Now, if you look at all three of those court decisions, they were all opinions, individual cases before the court, and all three of them, the Goodridge decision acknowledged that there was no court order, they couldn't change the law, so we'll look at the Goodridge case first in Massachusetts, they couldn't change the law, and then if the law were to be changed, which is Chapter 207 in the Mass General Laws, if memory serves, that it would have to be done by the legislature. No duh. Of course it would have to be. That's the only way any laws can be amended or altered, right? It's through via the legislature, legislative branch. Now, by the way, those laws never changed to accommodate same-sex marriage. Yet, Mitt Romney, who most of the conservative establishment, from Sean Hannity to Rush Limbaugh to Laura Ingraham to Hugh Hewitt to people like Tony Perkins of the Family Research Council, they all back and continue to back. None of them have retracted their endorsements or statements of encouragement for him. And yet, by the same token, not one of the legal organizations that I named earlier, ACLJ, J. Secular's organization, Liberty Council, Pacific Legal, ADF, these are all supposed conservative organizations who never once just stated the obvious, which is that the Massachusetts Supreme Court has no lawmaking authority, there was no court order, and that Mitt Romney unilaterally, illegally, and unconstitutionally authorized the alterations to an issuance of those marriage licenses. So my question to you is, why wasn't Mitt Romney impeached from office? Why wasn't there at least a call from our so-called conservative lawyers for his impeachment? And by the way, the same thing could be said of Arnold Schwarzenegger, because the same thing happened in California, where he illegally issued those marriage licenses, falsely claiming that he was ordered to by the court, that we have to fulfill the orders of the court, and whatever the court says goes. How is it that we keep falling for this same trick, this same lie that the court made us do it, the court made us do it? How do you explain this, Judge?
I think they want to do it, and they're using the courts to get them to allow it, and I think they're bowing down to unlawful authority. Their job is to execute the laws, not to obey unlawful orders, and I think that's what they're doing. I'm most familiar with the judges in Iowa, as a matter of fact, because I spoke up there. After I spoke, a pastor got together with people and started to attack the justices of the Supreme Court who had voted in same-sex marriage and overruled Iowa's DOMA law, which is Defense of Marriage Act. I went back, spoke on television and radio about the unlawfulness of these orders, and lo and behold, three justices of the Iowa Supreme Court out of three that were up for attention were removed from court for the first time in Iowa history. That's a very big thing, because it shows that when the people understand what's going on in these courts, they will remove these justices, whether they were elected, appointed, or whatever. They'll get them out of court. Now, that doesn't apply to federal district judges, which have lifetime tenure. They're more free to rule against the law, and it's up to politicians. It's up to the legislature to impeach them.
That's right.
And they should be impeaching these. If they would impeach one of these judges or justices, then they would stop rebelling against the Constitution. We've had Supreme Court justices of the United States state in their opinion that they were following foreign law. They did that, for example, in Lawrence v. Kennedy in 2003 when they overturned the precedent which was set in Bowers v. Hardwick back in 1986 that said there was no right in the Constitution to commit sodomy. That was Bowers v. Hardwick. Some 17 years later, in 2003, they found such a right, but they didn't find it in the Constitution. They found it in the laws of France, Germany, and the United Kingdom. And the United States Congress should have impeached them when they did for ruling by laws which they were not sworn to uphold. Mm. United States justices and people in our land aren't sworn to uphold the laws of France or Germany or the United Kingdom. They're sworn to uphold the Constitution of the United States. And they had already recognized, the Supreme Court of the United States had recognized, there was no right to commit sodomy in the Constitution.
Is that your phone, Judge?
Right.
Is that your phone? We're getting a little static here on the line.
There is a little static. It might have been. I don't know.
No problem. So real quickly, I think we have about 5 minutes left. Kind of want to go a little bit more rapid fire. And let me just ask a follow-up question to that. Should Mitt Romney, or should any governor, I'm going to use Romney as an example, who falsely claims that a court ordered him to enforce an opinion, which is essentially what he did, should a governor who acts unilaterally without having the law being changed, as Romney did, should that governor be impeached and removed from office?
I think he should. And by the way, that static must, I don't think it's on my phone, but I can hear it also. I think they should be impeached because they're not following the Constitution.
Mm.
Impeachment power, if you noticed, has dwindled in many years. I, for example, wasn't removed by impeachment because it was up to the legislature. The legislature would have never removed me. But when judges do wrong things, it seems like executives and legislatures are so regarding of their position that they don't question it. And these judges can come out with fancy words. And for example, the Iowa legislature didn't remove the justices. They had to be voted out at the next retention election. And they were. And there's four of them still there that may be voted out the next time.
Yeah, the people did what their elected representatives weren't able to do or weren't willing to do.
They're not willing because they don't understand the Constitution of the United States. The Constitution of the United States basically exists to control the fallen nature of man. That's why you have three distinct branches with checks and balances and separation of powers. We often complain because laws are so slow. It was meant to be that way. They wanted to restrain the power of man, and they did it with various systems like the federalism system, which allows states' rights. And we see that being violated today.
Mm. So let me ask you this question. I got a few minutes left here. In terms of, do you know one Supreme Court justice or even federal judge, Judge Moore, that will acknowledge either verbally or has ever written in any opinion that a baby, a preborn baby in the womb possesses an inalienable right to their own lives, which can never be violated?
I think some of them have actually acknowledged that, but some of the newer ones I don't think are consider it a set precedent. In other words, they recognize the wrongfulness of it, but they won't say it's wrong because it was ordered by a Supreme Court. And these are conservative justices. But I think Clarence Thomas, Antonin Scalia, I think they have recognized the rights of the unborn child. Be wrong about that. But
because I'm not aware that any, especially Republican-appointed Supreme Court judge has ever acknowledged that. I'd love to see the proof. But if there is there then, shouldn't there be a recognition of that inalienable right to life? And isn't that, in your mind, obviously the most sacred right that any American citizen or human being, for that matter, possesses?
That's right. And people don't understand what that means. It goes past and goes to include, of course, the unborn child, but it goes to people living past 80 and 85 mm-hmm. and 90. Eventually, that sort of thinking will create a culture of death to where they'll start saying under these universal health care laws that they just don't deserve the same sort of treatment because they're too old.
Right.
And people don't understand that basically that comes out of a culture which disregards the life of the unborn child. You know, back in the days of 1700s and Blackstone's commentaries, it was recognized that and I'm quoting, life was the immediate gift of God, a right inherent in nature in every individual, and it begins in contemplation of law as soon as the infant stirs in its mother's womb. In other words, they recognize that the person, the life, began in the mother's womb, but today we have taken the obvious approach that it doesn't exist, the person doesn't exist till its head comes out.
That's right. And by the way, I think that comes from Psalm 139,
yes,
if I'm not mistaken. I knew you before I formed you in your mother's womb. So what is the minute remaining that we have left or so, in a nutshell, for our listeners that are listening out there, it's not all doom and gloom, right?
No.
What is the hope? What's the optimism in Judge Roy Moore's heart and soul that keeps you going?
Oh, I think there's a lot of hope because there is a God, and I think he's awakening the people. I think we're under a great awakening right now, and I think that people are coming to understand a little bit better the Constitution of the United States, a little bit better their history, and a little bit better the actions of these judges and presidents who ignore the law and just distort it according to their own individual predilection. So I think that people are awakening, and we never give up on God, and we never give up on our country. I served this country and saw too many die in its defense. Some people were very closely related to me at the United States Military Academy, and I think of them often as I think of how we've turned our back on that to which they were sworn to uphold, and I vow never to do that.
Mm. Well, Judge Moore, I just want to tell you again, I really appreciate your time being here yesterday and today. Judge Roy Moore has been my guest. So Help Me God is his book. He is the president of the Foundation for Moral Law. That's at www.morallaw.org. You can go to his website, check out the great work that the judge is doing. Judge, keep up the good work. Keep walking by faith, my friend. Look forward to speaking to you soon.
Great.
Thank you for being with me on Bob Enyart Live. Greg Jackson signing off.
You're invited to tune in to Bob Enyart Live right here on KLTT.
Bob Enyart, pastor of Denver Bible Church, hosts a conservative talk radio news show.
It's fun. Hear the O'Reilly O'Reilly segments. Explore the real difference between right
and left wingers.
And learn why liberals call for peace
while conservatives fight for freedom.
So stay tuned to AM 670 KLTT right here on your dial.
And listen to Bob Enyart Live.
One of my lifelong heroes, a 20-year congressman, worked with Ronald Reagan to fight abortion at a federal level. This is Congressman Bob Dornan. Bob, welcome to Bob Enyart Live.
Reverend Bob Enyart, for the rest of my life, I'm indebted to you. I got your documentary, Focus on the Strategy, that you gave me seven simple words that I will never look at another piece of pro-life legislation without saying those words.
But what are those seven words?
And then you can kill the baby.
It's a bad law if it says, and then you could kill the baby.
And then you can kill the baby. If you do this, that real notification, your documentary, everybody in America who wants to be part of a good fight, they must get that documentary on the strategy.
Thank you, Bob Dornan. That was Bob Dornan, U.S. Congressman, fought for life for many years. We appreciate him and are thrilled with his endorsement for our video, Focus on the Strategy.